All right. Our reading will be taken from the book of Acts, chapter number 9, starting at verse number 11. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version. And it reads, "The Lord said to him, 'Get up and go to the street called Straight. And at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight.'" Amen. Amen. Now I want you to turn to your neighbor, grab your neighbor by the hand, look your neighbor square in the eye. Look him square in the eye. Square in the eye. Look your neighbor square in the eye. And say, "Neighbor, will you go to Straight Street? Neighbor, will you go to Straight Street?" Amen. Amen. We have entitled our message this morning, "Will You Go to Straight Street?" You know, as we look at this, Sister Sarah, you know what's really intriguing about this? The Lord is telling Ananias to go. But I got to back up before we go forward. As I back up, the one thing I want us to understand, before we can go anywhere that Jesus instructs us, we must first come to Jesus. You see, because you can't go nowhere in Jesus' name until you first have come to Jesus. Now, what does it mean, Sister Fee, when we say come? When we say come, what we're saying is that you're recognizing that where you are, and when Jesus calls you to come, you're recognizing that where you are hasn't gotten you nowhere so far. If anything, it's messed you up more than it's helped you. You find yourself going in circles. You find yourself frustrated, angry, and mad, and bitter. But when Jesus said, "Come," it takes us from where we are to a place where we can receive something. So in all actuality, the place where we are when Jesus says come, we see ourselves as a nothing. But when Jesus says come, we recognize that this dude sees something in me that I don't even see. I know you're holy now. I know you got a different perspective now, but that ain't always how you were. Oh, see, I had to preach there for 5 minutes because ain't nobody really say amen. You see, because when we look at where we once were and where we are right now, you remember the times when you and J&B used to be hanging out big time. And then Johnny Walker would get jealous because you was with J&B too much. Then all of a sudden, Hennessy got frustrated and said, "You only call me every once in a while." Oh, Lord. If y'all didn't hear it, Reverend Rose was just breaking it down what there is. So when we look at where we are right now, we are where we are because we responded to Jesus saying to us, come. You see, I recall that in the Bible, Deacon Booth, that when Jesus started and called the 12, he stopped by a boat where two brothers were. And as they were there, Jesus said, "Come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." So you know what they did? They dropped what they had. They had to leave where they were in order to come to Jesus. Because Jesus knew that he had something for them that they couldn't get while they were still where they were. And then all of a sudden, I look at that word "come" again in the Bible. When the 12 disciples were hanging out on the boat out there at sea, wind was raging, the water was going all over the place, and they saw a figure walking on water. Some said it was a ghost. Others didn't know what it was. But then Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come." And And Jesus didn't say it's going to be all right. He just said. So in essence, Jesus was telling him that where you are has nothing for you. But where I am has everything that you need. But in order to get it, you must what? Come. Don't you know that brother walked out of that boat and walked on water? And we know the story. Then we understand there are several situations in the Bible where Jesus says, come. Jesus knows that there'll be times in our lives, Sister Hemphill, when we feel worn out and beat down and tattered and battered by the things of life. So the Lord says, come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So you see, the Lord told us, even when we're going through some hard times, he wants us to. He said, because the place where you are right now is not giving you what you need. The only way to get what you need is you got to. You see, I want us to understand that the Lord wants us all to come to him. And when we look at all this and all that is happening, we have to recognize that now that we have come to Jesus, I want you to understand Jesus isn't just satisfied with us just coming and sitting in church and getting happy and clapping our hands. Our ministry's got to be bigger than a Sunday morning worship. You see, we don't just come here to make this the Sunday morning best. We want to be the best that we can for Jesus 7 days a week. We just congregate on Sunday morning here because that is the day, the first day of the week, and that's the day he was resurrected. So that's the day we come and assemble ourselves to give him the glory, the honor, and the praise, because we realize if he hadn't gotten up, we couldn't have gotten up. We've come to realize that he has the power over death. He has the power over all sin. That's why we come to this place on Sunday morning. You see, we come to this place because we realize that this place has something that we need. And to sit home on Sunday morning, we ain't getting what we need. So it's important for the people of God to, now that we've come, what do we do now, Nicole? Now that we've come, what's supposed to happen now? We come in order to be filled, to be empowered, to be guided, you know, and once the Lord fills us up, empowers us, cleans us up, put all the broken pieces back together again, puts us in our right mind, he blesses us with so much, y'all, we can't even begin to explain it. The psalmist said, if I had 1,000 tongues, I couldn't thank him enough. You know why? Because every time you think about what he's done, he done already done something else. And when you all of a sudden start recognizing how good God has been to you, how he brought you up out of nothing and you are now a something, how he has blessed you to be here on this earth, Mother Austin, for over 95 years, I don't care what they say, no matter what, you're going to make it your business to come up in God's house, because the Lord's been too good to you. You might not be 95, but however old you are, you ought to praise God for your age, because the Lord has blessed you, kept you, and allowed you to be in the church today. And since you're able to come in here under your own strength, that's something that we ought to thank and praise God for, because God has been mighty good. But check this out. You done said a whole lot, Pastor, but you ain't touched the scripture. Thank you for reminding me, because that's where we about ready to go right now. You see, because before you can go, you must first. You see, now I want you to understand something. See, you see, Ananias came, and Ananias has been appointed and anointed. Ananias is now about to get his first marching orders. You see, Deacon Jones, everybody love the Lord when the Lord is doing for us what we want to be done. But what happens when the Lord says, I want you to do something that takes you outside of who you are? I want you to do something that you ain't comfortable with. I want you to go a place you ain't never been before. I want you to confront some stuff you ain't never confronted before. Are you still going to say the Lord is good and that he's good? So as I look at this story, the Lord says, because in verse 10 you can see it, but when you get the chance, Lord knows, just read from verse 1 to the end of the chapter. There's a lot of good stuff up in here. But what I want you to see is that it tells us in verse 10 that the Lord Jesus came to Ananias in a vision. And what we're seeing is the dialogue, or a piece of the dialogue, that took place in this vision. So when the Lord came to Ananias, Ananias might have been assembled around, Sister Archer, around a whole bunch of folk that love the Lord like he loved the Lord. So, you know, they're all together there praising and thanking God for how good God is and how he's protected them in Damascus and how the hell that's breaking loose over there in Jerusalem with that dude Saul over there creating all that ruckus. We're just thankful that that ruckus ain't going on here, but we understand there's some stuff that might try to happen, but we're going to praise and thank God. Then the Lord said, Ananias, I got a job for you. Ananias, I want you to go to a street called Straight. Because the reason why I want you to go to that street, I want you to go to a house of a man named Judas. And when you get to Judas's house, there's a man in there from Tarsus. His name is Saul. He has been praying, and I showed him in a vision that a man named Ananias would come, lay hands on him, so that he might regain his sight. So I can see Ananias in the spirit, like, oh, the Lord is speaking to me, but hold on, Lord. Pump the brakes. Well, back then they ain't had no brake, but pull the rings. Lord, hold on. Do you know the history? Do you know the history of this dude? Sister Davis, what has just happened here is that Ananias is saying to Jesus, I'm about to tell you something you don't know. See how y'all just laugh? Come on now. You should laugh if you think you're going to tell God something he don't know. So Ananias is saying, Lord, I got to inform you, because I think you have been ill-informed about something. You want me, God bless you, you want me to go to a house on Straight Street, lay hands on Saul from Tarsus? Jesus, do you know who this dude is? He has been locking us Christians up, or your followers up, in Jerusalem. And we got word that the brother is trying to come here now to lock us up and drag us all back to Jerusalem. You know, Jesus, that brother might even kill some folk. And you know, when they stoned Stephen, he was holding everybody's coat, probably saying, hit him again. So Jesus, you want me to go to one of the arch enemies of the church, put my hands on him, pray for him, that he might receive his sight? Lord, if I pray anything for him, I pray that he die right where he's standing. After what I know, you know, and you know what? Think about this. If we can just use our spiritual imagination, we just don't know. But just think that some of Ananias' friends have been incarcerated or even killed because of this Saul. So that makes it even harder for him, Sister Battle, to go there and be happy. Praise the Lord that you want me to. Jesus, thank you. You want me to go lay hands on Saul. Hallelujah. That ain't how that brother responded. Now, can we be real, real today? There are times the Lord has instructed us to do some things. And guess what? We don't do that hallelujah. We pull an Ananias. All right, Lord, I understand. I understand, Lord, I understand. But him? Huh? You want me to go do what for him or her? Pray for this person? You know how they try to dog me out every chance they get? Every time I turn my back, they're throwing daggers at me. Every time I walk by Digging Rosa, they whisper about me. And now you want me to go and pray for them? Lord, no, Lord, ain't no help me. I don't want to go there, Lord. I don't want to go. Come on, let's be real. Some of y'all be like, I don't want to go. And then some of y'all say, well, Lord, I don't know. Maybe I heard that, but you meant that for somebody else. Yeah. Not really me, Lord. I'm just being real. Some of us will say, help me, Lord. Other folk will say, you know what? Maybe that's for somebody else. And you go over and you say to somebody, you know, Brother Plant, the Lord just showed me in a vision. You need to go pray for Brother Window over there. Thank God that ain't none of us. Oh, hallelujah. Can we go and work with this a little bit more? You see, now, as we're seeing this, Ananias knows Saul's history. You see, there are some folk that know your history, Lionel. They know your history. Some folk know my history. Mo, they know your history. You know, Brother Simpson, they know your history. But what they don't know is your present. You see, Ananias wasn't privy to know that the Lord had already changed Saul's present. Because his intent was to come there to create a problem for those that love Jesus. You see, and Jesus met him on the road to Damascus. And when the Lord met him on the road to Damascus, a bright light shone. And it was a bright light, and Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Oh, we got to stick a pin and deal with this for a second. He didn't say, Saul, why are you messing with my followers? Saul, why are you touching those folk who are serving me? He said, why are you persecute me? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, stay with us. You see what I want you to understand? That once you give your life to Christ, you're no longer your own, but you now belong fully to Jesus. And when you are guided by Jesus, anybody that's messing with you is messing with Jesus. So tell me, how can you call yourself a child of God and mess with another child of God? All you're doing is messing with. When you mess with that person next to you who said who loves the Lord, you ain't messing with them. You're messing with Jesus. And I want you to know, when you mess with Jesus, I want you to understand Jesus is going to protect his own. And when Jesus protects his own, you know what, y'all, that's how come I don't want to have no problem with Jesus. So that means I don't want to have no problem with you. You might hate me, you might not like me, but I got to love you in spite of you. I got to love you in spite of my own emotions. And when we get past our emotions and understand that we got to do as the Lord instructs us, don't you know our lives will be a whole lot better? Because this life that we live is no longer my own. I'm now living for Jesus. What about you? And if we all are living for Jesus, oh, how much better would it be in God's house with God's people? There wouldn't be no backbiting. There wouldn't be no backstabbing. There wouldn't be no whispering. There wouldn't be no tripping. We'd be praying for one another, encouraging one another, helping one another. Because we understand that when I'm messing with you, I'm really messing with Are you working with me? So now that we take the pin out, we keep going with the story. So in essence, I can see that Saul's mind was just blown. Because he said, who art thou, Lord? And he's like realizing that now. All of a sudden, he realized the brother couldn't see. All he could do was see himself. And as he was seeing himself, those folk who were there with him were oblivious to what was going on. They didn't understand what was going on. They saw a light, but they didn't hear nothing. They didn't know what was happening, but all they did was they saw that Saul got up and couldn't see. And as they saw that he got up and couldn't see. Don't you know that the Lord had them take Saul to a house on Straight Street? I want you to understand that is not a coincidence. That was not by luck or by chuck. I want you to know that's part of God's design plan. Don't you know that when your life was crooked, the first place the Lord's got to take you is to? Oh, somebody going to work with me. You see, because the Lord's got to take us to Straight Street, because all of us have been crooked in our lives. And it's time for us to get straight. And in order to get straight, you first got to start on. Oh, somebody going to work with me. Is it all right if we go on in a few more minutes? You see, I want you to understand and recognize and see this for yourself. I want you to see that Saul had to be taken to Straight Street because of the fact that he had to come to understand that, bro, you've been crooked. You thought you was right, but you really was wrong. Even those folk who are cheering you on, those folk are on a crooked street just like you. But I'm here to tell you that I got to take you to straight street. You see, my brothers and my sisters, sometimes the Lord's got to knock us down before he picks us up. Don't you realize in this situation, before he could use Saul, he had to take Saul down a peg. He had to shut everything out so that all Saul could do was spend time looking at himself. And as Saul was looking at himself and praying, and Saul was fasting, I could just see the folk coming up to him. Saul, you want something to eat? Saul, you want something to drink? All right. And all he would do was just push folk away. And you know what they were saying? Oh, well. And some of those who traveled with him said, you know, he was able to see it, everything. But then, I don't know, we saw a light out there. And after he saw that light, he just got up. Brother couldn't see no more. I don't know. But we brought him over here on Straight Street. And now that he's here, I guess he's just waiting to die. I don't know what's going on with him. You see, some folk don't know what's going on with you, so they just try to figure out what's going to happen next. You see, I want you to know that the evidence will show that, well, I guess that the route you're going and the direction you're going right now ain't going to be long for the Lord call you home. Ain't going to be long before the Lord turn you around. You see, because I want you to understand that when Saul began to pray and fast, I can see, if I could use my spiritual imagination, I can see Saul's praying that, Lord, you now have shown me how wrong I am. I see the wrong in my life. I've seen what I've done wrong. Lord, you could have killed me right there on that road to Damascus. But Lord, right now, I guess I got to suffer before I die. So Lord, I don't want nothing else to eat. I just want to be right with you before I get to see you again. So I don't want nothing to eat. And if you take me, Lord, I understand. But then the Lord said, bro, hold on. You ain't going nowhere yet. I got some work for you to do. You see, I am the difference maker. And since I am the difference maker, I'm about to do a new thing with you. I'm about to do something different with you. Whereas before you was a hellraiser against the church, now I'm going to use you to be someone who's going to glorify me and lift up those who don't know me so that they will come to know me just as you know me. So, you know, I am the difference maker. I'm going to do a difference in your life. And as I do this difference in your life, you're going to become a difference. So are you working with me? So as he's saying this, and then he said, bro, let me tell you something. He said, there's a dude named Ananias who's going to come, lay hands on you, and when he does, you're going to see again. Amen. So at this time, you know the interesting thing was? He didn't give Saul a timetable. He just said, help's coming. You see, my brothers and my sisters, God don't give us no timetable, but God says, help is on the way. So since you know help is on the way, you can go on and thank God for what he is about to do. You see, God doesn't want no after praise. God wants some before praise. You see, my brothers and sisters, sometimes God ain't moved in our lives yet. It's because we ain't give God no before praise. We just want to wait till after it's all over and give God some praise. But what the people of God have to learn how to do is give God some before praise. You are going through hell and high water, but praise him anyway. It's getting rough, but praise him anyway. It's getting tough, but praise him anyway. God wants some before praise. You see what I'm saying, my brothers and sisters? All you know is that your help is already on the way. So give God some before praise. But let's go on. Let's go on. Let's go on. Can we go on a little further? But as we go on a little further, I want us to see something. Now, I want you to know that Ananias struggled with wanting to go. You see, but a struggle is real. But the thing is, do you defy God? Or do you do what God instructs you? We all struggle with it. Can we be real? I don't know where you sit, but me, where I'm sitting as a pastor, I know everybody smile at me when they see me. But I don't know everybody like me. I pray they all love me. Because I got to love you in spite of. So, you know, but still, if folk talk about me or my family or whatever I do, and then something happened in their lives, the Lord said, you got to go see him. Now, I got two choices to make. I can deny God and block my own blessing. But if I say, Lord, I'm living for you, then there's no question on what I am going. You see, my brothers and my sisters, what Jesus was telling my man Ananias is that, bruh, I'm sending you the straight street. But Ananias, I want you to understand something. Don't you know that you started out on straight street? That your life was once crooked and I had to get you on your straight street? And once you went to your straight street, don't you know that you was there toe up from the flow up? But I sent somebody there to lay some hands on you, to heal and deliver you. And then what did you do? You gave your life to me. And you're now living straight. You're going straight for Jesus. And I want you to know the same thing that's going on with Saul. He is now in a house on straight street. So what does that mean? You might not be in the same house that God is sending you to, but you've been in a house where you need to go to stay on your straight street. So what the Lord is letting Ananias know, that I have the power to heal and to deliver. I have the power to use who I want when I want. I have the power because my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. And if I tell you to go somewhere, that's what you go and do. And even though Ananias struggled with it, don't you know he did exactly what the Lord instructed him to do? Why? Because he understood that the Lord is the one that put him on straight street and he was going to go straight for Jesus. So he had to go to the house. And when he got to the house, you know what happened? Check this out. Saul was there praying in Judas' house. Not Judas Iscariot, because he already did. He was in Judas' house praying. And while he was praying, I can use my imagination to see how Ananias came through the door. He said, Judas, how you doing? Hey, you know who I am. I'm Ananias. Good to see you, bro. But Judas, I'm here because I'm looking for a man from Tarsus. Oh, you want Saul? Yeah, that's him. He back there in the back room. The brother ain't ate in 3 days. All he's doing is praying and crying, thanking God, and every now and then he starts shouting. I guess the brother about to leave this place. He about his life about to come to an end, I guess. I just don't know what's going on with him. But something ain't right. Something going on with him. And then Ananias smiled. And then Ananias, now the one thing that is not clear in the Bible, we don't know if Ananias went there by himself or whether he went and had some folk go with him. I just don't know. We just don't know because the Bible doesn't say. But what we do know, close your eyes and bow your head there, Brother Alex, Deacon Alex. Now, while he's there praying, something happens when Ananias sees who it is. He puts his hand on Saul and says, brother. Do you see that? He called that dude. This is the same dude that's responsible for dragging folk and beating folk. May have been responsible for killing some folk. But Ananias puts a hand on him and calls him. So don't you know one thing? That the Lord can make your enemies now your best friends? Don't you know the Lord can take a nothing and make something from it? Don't you know the Lord can take something and turn it upside down or make it right side up? Isn't that what he did with Saul? And you know why that was important for Saul to hear? You know why Saul needed to hear that? Because Saul right now is broken. Crying and asking God for forgiveness. But God sends Ananias. Ananias puts his hand on him. And you know what he is saying? You're part of a holy family now. You're no longer lost. You've now been found. You're no longer blind. But now you're going to see. Your life is no longer your own. It now belongs to me. Whereas others before hated you, other folk gonna love you. And the folk that was in agreement with you are the folk who are now gonna hate you. But long as you know you're a part of the royal family, a holy family, a family of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, when you know that you are now part of something bigger than yourself, the one who had the victory over death, the one who took the sin away from the world, you're now part of that holy family, and all of a sudden those scales fell right off of Saul's eyes, and Saul said, I can see. And I want you to know that Saul started praising God, and not just Saul, Ananias started praising God. They had themselves a Holy Ghost party right there in Judas' house. I don't know if anybody else praised God, but I want you to know two folk who saw the power of God and God do the healing were the folk that began to praise God. That's how come whenever the people of God come up in God's house, we ought to have something to praise God for. And you know what we can praise God for? Aren't we still here? I tell you, isn't the Lord still blessing us? We got something to praise God for. He's brought us a mighty long way. He's turned our lives around. Somebody ought to thank him. Why? Because I'm glad I went down to Straight Street. Because God blessed me on Straight Street. He healed me on Straight Street. He used me on Straight Street. Somebody ought to say, hallelujah. When you know how good our God is, I can't sit down on him. When I know that I am going straight for Jesus, no matter what you say about me, you don't know what the Lord has done. You don't know how I've been blessed. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You don't know my story because God's been good to me. So I got to thank him. I got to praise him. He's done too much for me. He put me on Straight Street. So I'm going straight. I'm going straight for Jesus. You know, when I was a kid, I'm going to share this and I'm going to shut it down. Y'all can have a seat for just a minute. Y'all remember those things that came on TV about Railway State Prison? Yeah, they called it Scared Straight. Y'all remember that? Well, I went there when I was a teenager. I went to that program at Railway State Prison. They came, picked us up from Orange High School at 8:30 in the morning. But before they let us get on that bus that they transported the inmates in, they told us, when they get us down there to that prison, we want you to know before you take one step towards this bus, if you have a seed of marijuana in your pocket, if we find a dust of any kind of drug on you, I want you to know you will not be coming back with everybody else who will be coming back on this bus. And also, we want you to understand that when we get you into the prison, if a riot breaks out, we hope that the correction officers can get to y'all before the problem gets too bad. How was I feeling right then and there? No, the brother started looking in his pockets to make sure he ain't had no seeds in it. I ain't got nothing in my pockets. Ain't no whiff of nothing on me. But what blew me away is that, hold on now, because the area they were taking us was the auditorium, which was in the center of the facility. They took us down, and from the time we got on that bus, they treated us like criminals. Yeah. And only thing they didn't do was cuss at us a whole lot. You said, you caught that. You caught that, right? Parents had to sign permission slips and all that stuff. And when we got down there, you know, I was one of the biggest dudes in the group. You know, hit Kev, football star, you know. Yeah, you know. And y'all know Jake Scott, the guy that was a boxer at Raw where they was trying to get him out to let him fight? Well, he got a brother who was in there with him. Gabriel, this dude was about 6'6". He was 275 pounds. I don't think the brother had an ounce of fat on him. And he said to me, give me your shoes. Here, bro. go barefoot. I don't need them. And all my boys, you know, they all, he got to them all first and told them to give it to them. And they're like, yeah, well, Cam gonna stand up to him like, you a devil's a liar. He asked me for mine. I mean, but when he was asking them, I was already unlacing in mine. And had these, bro. I don't need them. And after we were there for a few hours and they talked to us and did all that stuff with us, when I left that place, you know what I said? See y'all. Y'all won't be seeing me back. But the tactic that was utilized was this. It was called scared straight. See, Jesus doesn't scare us straight. He loves us straight. You follow me? Because some of the folk that were scared for that moment, some of the fellas who I know got locked up. Some of them are dead. But, so the scared straight didn't work for everybody. But the one thing that does work for everybody, y'all, is called love. I want you to know that God loves you so much that he wants to get you straight. He knows that your life is crooked. And it's time to get straight. And since he wants to get you and I straight, he doesn't use fear tactics. He just uses love tactics. And shows you all the stuff you was doing by yourself, where'd it get you? How far did you go? You know what it's like? See, when you're on a crooked road, right? Before you know it, that crooked road, you know what it does? Takes you right back to where you were. But you figured out, I'm going to get it right this time, but you're still on another crooked road. That takes you another way. But before you know it, you turn back around and you like, goodness, but you ain't saying goodness. I'm right back where I was. Because you were on a road that was crooked. That's why Jesus' love says to us, I want to get you straight. Because I want to put you on a street that's straight. I want your life to become straight. So that's why we don't have a problem going back to straight street and laying hands on folk that might have hated us, talked bad about us. But you know what we realize? That the love of Jesus was so great for us that as crooked as we were, he still loved us. So how are we going to cherry pick who we want to lay hands on? It is not left up to us. It's all in God's hands. Because didn't the Lord bring us all a mighty long way? And since he pulled us up out the miry clay, I will not dismiss anybody because the Lord loves them just like he loves me. So the question is, will you go to straight street? There's somebody there God wants you to lay hands on. Somebody that was trying to mess with your husband. Somebody that was trying to mess with your wife. Somebody that was trying to steal something from you. Somebody that's been dogging you out in church. Somebody that's been throwing daggers at you every chance they get. Somebody that when they see you walk by, they whisper. And these are the same folk Jesus said, they are over there on straight street. Will you go and lay a hand on them and pray? You see the struggle? It's real. I needed for us to understand the struggle that Ananias was dealing with. Well, I wouldn't have a problem going to see Saul. God changed him. How he know what God did? We read the story. But when it was happening, it was unfolding in his presence. God has no issues with our struggle. But God's got a lot of issues with our denial. He has issues when we deny what he wants us to do. He recognizes sometimes you're going to struggle. He can work with you in the struggle. But he has problems with you when you deny. Then when we deny, then we wonder why some things aren't going the way we want them to go. Because you haven't done what God has instructed you to do. Will you go? Will you go? To straight street, there's somebody there that the Lord wants you to lay a hand on. Why? Because you got to remember, my brother. You got to remember, my sister. The Lord made a difference in your life because he is the difference maker. And the Lord wants you to remember, I've called you. I told you to come. And now that you've come, I'm telling you, I'm calling you to be a difference. So it's time for you to go. And where are we going, y'all? There's somebody that God wants us to pray for. That is our struggle. That is what we got to get past. God loves you. God loves you just as much as he loves the person next to you. He loves that person who's been hating on you just as much as he loves you. Isn't that a hard pill to swallow? Be honest, ain't that a hard pill to swallow? But he still loves them. And he's going to fix them just like he fixed you.